Hey, everybody. That is Gary Smith.
Hello there.
That is Kaz Kenny.
Kapow!
And I am Eddie Bramo, and this is episode 47, I think it is.
Yeah,
47 of the Blackwater's Edge podcast.
I'm keeping track of them by my age now. So we're one more older than me now.
Just one? Are you sure? You didn't lose count?
I don't know. 74. What's that? You wonder what kind of vacuum I got or what?
Let's not get started on that.
Okay.
Please, so let's avoid that.
Let's just start us off with this week's fishing report.
Well, I got good news and bad news. The good news is that's not good news. It's cold as shit outside right now, you know? So
it's
really,
so
I'll tell you who's doing good is my friends are up Deep Creek Lake right now and they're ice fishing. They're up in Pennsylvania on the lakes and they're out at Habib and all the other places out in Western Maryland and Western Pennsylvania. I think that's who's probably had the most luck this week as far as adventures, you know what I'm saying? For here, the bad news is we haven't really seen much this week at all, you know, so it's been kind of tough. Everybody here knows it's been tough for me. I had a oyster shell go into my gum earlier in the week, so I'm talking fine.
Yeah,
that
was a little bit rough. Why don't you just go ahead and quick little story about it real quick.
Oh, my God. So, you know, I learned lots of lessons in life, and I guess this is a good lesson to learn. You know, with two dogs, you know, you learn lessons there, too. So I always eat oysters. You all know that. I'm always eating some kind of seafood, and I wound up coming down and pushing a piece of oyster shell into my gum. So, you know, not really thinking nothing of it. You know, I played with it, tried to get it out, you know. I thought it had gone because I didn't feel it anymore. All I did was push it back inside, didn't think about how sharp the edge of an oyster is. You know what I mean? And not realizing, you know, the more that I'm pushing on it and pushing this thing around, I'm just breaking this thing up into smaller pieces that are just moving back and forth in the gum line. You know what I'm saying? So, do I want to talk about being a doctor myself? Or
I wouldn't give too. Don't go into details. Just tell
okay,
just quick
so
fire.
I took care of it myself, cut it open, pulled the thing out with a pair of tweezers. I'm like, hey, man, I got this thing. We're good to go. And I thought everything would be fine. Long story short, I got a hell of an infection now right here all the way down the jawline, and it's very uncomfortable, and it hurts when my teeth tap together. So, oh, well, we'll figure it out. That's all I can really tell you about. So I know. So
yeah.
As far as the two dogs, so I had a mud spot at the place, and I decided to take some leftover oyster shells and just throw them in there real quick, you know, while the ground was cold and it was frozen, you know, just to get in there so I wasn't smearing mud everywhere or whatever. And I didn't realize that, you know, the more you back over oyster shells, the more it's like breaking a window in your car that hits the carpet. You never get all the glass. You know, it's always going to be there. Every time you go to the car wash, you're always going to find that one piece of glass that, you know, you thought you got it all, but you didn't. You know, that's the bottom line. So now I realize that if you have animals at home and you decide you want to fill holes in with oysters and you have dogs and things like that, keep them far away from the house, because as those oysters crushing and patting, the dogs run through it and it's wet, it sticks to their paws. Then they bring it in your house, then they bring it here. So for the last 5 days, I've been picking shards of oyster shells out of my hands because I'm always petting my dogs. It's been a hell of a week. So I didn't fish. I had no personal fishing report, really. No, I did make two casts one time, and it was just too cold. So, yeah, I did go out, but
it's been
slow. You know, I mean, the netters here, I was talking to Tim down Fishing Bay, and Timmy told me that, you know, they were seeing some really nice perch, you know. So, but that's netting, you know, that's not fishing.
Right.
So we know they're out there. We know that they're getting ready to come in. You know, we're getting ready to see that start to come together. We were starting to see the influx of some yellow perch in some places, most of those places that – we were seeing the influx, you know, that I did talk to those people, those fish have either backed out, shut down, you know, one of the two. You know, sometimes that water gets cold, they'll back down the river into a deeper hole and they'll all just kind of congregate there. I've been talking to, you know, some friends at Greensboro and some other places like that, them guys that are netting, you know, just trying to stay in touch, talk about, you know, what they're seeing. And they said the same thing. You know, everything's down. Nobody's even fishing nets. They're just letting them sit. You know, there's no sense in going out there. So
I got a quick question. So I don't think it's snowed since, had a good snow since we've been doing this podcast. So for those people who don't know, what's this new weather coming in this coming week going to do to the snakehead patterns?
Well, we're already in a slow path right now,
right.
You know. So if there's going to be any kind of a feed anywhere, I honestly would have to say that we're going to probably do it tomorrow. You know what I mean? So as the front approaches, you know, when I took Alex over to Gary's, you know, trying to help him get his stuff straight down here. You know, we were there the week before with Brandon, and when we were there with Brandon, you know, fish as a whole are easy to pattern if you can understand the pH, alkalinity, you know, the way that the barometer affects the way the fish react and feed and those kind of things, you know. A lot of people just don't really understand how important it is. If you really want to be that successful guy out there to look at that science side of, you know, fishing, period, all over, you know, as far as that goes. So, I mean, if something's going to happen tomorrow, I think it's going to be tomorrow, you know. And I think if you're going to catch them, you're going to – it's going to be bait. It's not going to be buzz baits and frogs.
Yeah, never topwater.
If I see a guy out there throwing a buzz bait or frog, I can tell you what's going to happen. As I go by, I'm going to hang my hand outside and boom.
They're the same way. They're the same way. Right. Monday night, before it got, 3:30, 4 o'clock, man, deer were everywhere. Yeah. I told Nate, I said, wind was blowing northeast. I said, I missed my night, man. I should have been tonight. And I went Tuesday night. But Monday night was the night, man. There were deer everywhere coming out.
Very good. Dad, have you seen anything rolling down there in anywhere? You seen anything in the water rolling when you're sick of hunting or anything down there? I know you
just
got some places.
Just menace. But so, when it was warmer, there's a lot. I mean, even the last frogs. Now, it's funny. People think frogs like in September are gone.
Oh, no.
I've
got
a bullfrog
here
in my ditch or in the culvert under my driveway at the house. And he was out 2 days last week. He comes because the sun shines in the morning. There's mm-hmm. a little pocket of water right in front of that, and it'll sun, and he'll get right up underneath of the grass because the grass warms up.
How many times in February have we sat here with 360-degree days and the spring peepers are just starting to chirp up and
right.
chirp
oh, exactly.
and driving down the road, and then we get a cold snap the next day or two, and you don't hear nothing again, you know? So you can also – I've never really pointed this out to people, but like here – I actually put a correlation together, you know, as in my winter patterns, you know. That's how I kind of put the whole learn the 3-day thing, the warm, the heat, you know, because I figured out, like, in February, if I was riding to Walmart to go for whatever reason to town to get something, let's say, and I was going to Church Creek and I hear them peeping right there at sunset, I knew that my chances of catching a snakehead were pretty good mm-hmm. if they were out. And I said the same thing about turtles. You know, here especially, like when I'm in the ditches and I'm fishing, I see the turtles starting to come out. I know for sure I can catch a snakehead. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I see the turtles out, if I see the muskrats, you know, real heavy in them ditches swimming around during the day and all that, you know, having fun and playing, I know I got a good shot. But really, I mean, this lesson that I just, you know, I was even trying to show it and explain to people using the bluegills as the example. You know, we got there at Brandon right before that front came through. Boom, man. We didn't smoke anything. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's wintertime, folks. You know what I mean? But to sit there and to be able to put a little pattern together and to find 5 or 6, you know, 10 to 12 inch bluegill, you know, and work away from everything else, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, me and Brandon there, we certainly didn't settle on fire like me and you do in the warmer days. I mean, we'll catch 200-300 fish, you know what I'm saying? But we sat there, you know, I had that one bite. We knew the front was coming. I knew that the sun was playing a role in it. So if we moved over to that other side where I had that bite, that was probably the area in the pond the fish had bunched up to eat. There was probably something there to eat. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I mean, people think I'm like some, well, I don't even want to say, because every time I say I'm something, Eddie says I'm some. A lot of people think I'm a fishing freak just because I like
you
really
are.
Try to break
you
everything down
What'd
so
you
much.
Tell Brandon? call it like 3 or 4. I'm not going to fish anymore, man. I don't want you to catch up. And he catches 4 or 5 more. So I'm not going to fish anymore, man. I told Brad, how many times he told you that, man?
So here's the thing, right? So we got there, and like, I'm just as anxious as anybody to catch a fish. You know, and I kind of felt bad about it. You know,
no, you didn't.
No, I didn't. You're right. When that bobber goes down, you don't feel bad about shit. You know what I mean? So you might feel bad about what's on the other end, but you don't feel bad when it goes down. So, you know, I said to Brandon after I caught the second one, you know, he still hadn't caught his first one yet. And I said, look, man, next time it goes down, I'm just going to leave it sit here. Just run over here and grab it, all right? So I'm over there talking to him, and then I see the bobber. I said, I'll be right back.
he's like a kid Easter egg hunting, and the other kid's going for to pick something up, and he just runs over and grabs it right in front of him.
Ah, look like a... So I went back to the car. Molly had her head out, and she was screaming out of the truck or something. I don't know. So I ran over there to see what she was doing. I come back, and Gary goes, yeah, man, make sure when that rod goes off next time, you make sure you let him get one. I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, Brandon, if that thing goes off again, all right, you make sure you get that, all right? I swear to God, you couldn't go on 1-2. I was like, oh, I'll be right back. And Gary's just over here like this. You know, like, I wouldn't want to fish with me either, man. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's pretty much an overview of everything. I mean, it's up the bay. I mean, you know, the guys up here are seeing ice in places, you know.
Especially with this wind.
And right now, I mean, where's our boy Roy? Roy, safety, safety, safety. That's all I keep thinking in my head, you know what I mean? That every time I drive down the road here and I see a frozen ditch or see the culvert cove half frozen except for the line running out the middle, that's the first thing I think about, believe it or not, is Roy Boyd in safety. I don't know why that is, but... So that's what I got. I know we got a really good show today, and I'm excited. So
Let's do it. So this week we've got on Brian Dolph. Did I say that right, Dolph?
That's correct.
Brian is from Old School Tackle. How you doing today, man?
Not too bad.
Good, good. So for those who don't know you, why don't you just give a quick overview of who you are and what you do?
All right. So I own a local based tackle company based in Salisbury. We make soft baits and some jigs, primarily the
Bring
soft baits.
Bring the mic to you just a bit closer.
Oh, okay. There we go.
There you go.
We do a lot of paddle tails exclusively. So we do a little bit of grubs, but pretty much we are just trying to fall into that niche of the paddle tail market here locally. So everything was done in-house. We don't outsource anything. Everything's handmade. Everything is injected by hand. We don't have any big fancy injection machines or anything else. So a lot of it is small batches.
I'm trying to focus it in there so they can get everything. We'll get into all that. But I'll tell you what I'm looking at here is beautiful stuff. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just trying to get them to see your name.
Yeah.
These things are fire, man. Continue, please.
That's actually a new product this year. So we're that starting tail. To get into the jig spinners for the redfish guys that are chasing them out in the Tangier Sound.
Captain Sean Dougherty, where you at down in Florida? Check these bad boys out, man. Yeah, Come on down and help us ass up. Us out.
Yeah.
Gosh, they are beautiful, man. I really like these things and that tail.
Yeah, but they're working. Yeah. South Carolina, John Fox.
That's right.
Hey, yeah, John. I forgot about him. City Charters. Hey, I bet you these things might do something down there, too, man. Let's get these things on the market. Let's get these things down there and get them going.
Yeah. Specs would love those things.
Oh, man, you ain't shitting about that either.
No, and that's kind of the nice thing about that is it's we've kind of had to adapt a lot of the freshwater stuff to saltwater. Mm-hmm. So the compounds on all of our soft plastics is meant to be extremely durable for saltwater fish. But last year, oh, there you go. He's going to go test it out.
But he said it's very durable. He saw my eyes. I was like, let me look at this thing.
It's a lot more durable than most of the soft plastics on the market.
I'm going to be honest with you. Look, Eddie, you're a hyperlastics guy. I mean, here, let me see. This is a hyperlastics, great bait, but let's just... I'm feeling it. I mean, it's
right.
Yeah. And so we've taken that plastisol compound about as durable as we can possibly get it without having adverse effects on the action of the bait. And as a result, you know, we've got a lot of pictures. I don't know. You're the snakehead guy. I'm the saltwater guy.
I tell you what, these things are beautiful. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, things will catch them. I'm telling you right now.
Well, yeah.
I'm a swim bait guy. I mean, that's me. So my first swim bait introduction to snakeheads was the lure that I use here for just my rock fishing and my trout, which is a culprit riptide mullet. Okay, so that's what I bought for years. That's all I ever used. And then when everybody started making these things and I got to see different size lures, different gauge, I don't know what the correct word would be for that. You know,
right, the diameters of the tail.
Girth, whatever, you know, and how these things were being built. And I saw this market starting to change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And guys like you were showing up and other guys were showing up and these new swim baits were coming out. It seemed to be all about the flap. I wanted to buy that, all about the flap, you know?
Yeah.
I did, man, because, you know, when we were throwing some of the other swim baits, that was the thing we were judging swim baits in the beginning. How big of a swing did the tail have? You know, how natural did it look? Did the tail run straight? Did it make the lure turn over, you know? So there's been a lot of stuff that's still unfolding in the swim bait business. But, I mean, I can't lie. I mean, I'm looking at this thing here, this jig spinner. This emerald owl, Gary, show him that color right there you got, man.
That's pretty.
I like God, that thing would kill it in Florida. I'm telling you. That thing would kill it in St. John's River. Like, you wouldn't believe, man.
Yeah, so a lot of the... So I wish I could say that I'm a mad scientist and I could tell you that there's an art form to that. But a lot of that stuff, I just stumbled into playing around with different colors. And I would just throw them in my tackle box.
Mm-hmm.
When I would get a new color in, I'd mix it up to see how it would react if I mixed it with other colors. So I had a lot of weird blues and stuff in my tackle box, stuff that you don't conventionally see on the market. And I was just fishing the Route 50 bridge down in Ocean City one day, and I had this light blue bait, Never fished a blue bait in my life. And my buddy's throwing chartreuse. His girlfriend's throwing pink. All the normal go-to colors, and you think you'd be killing rockfish. For some reason, they just kept tearing into the blue. And it was because there was a little bit of that translucent piece to the bait. You back that up with some flake in it.
Mm-hmm.
So as the light penetrates, it has all kinds of light refraction, and that's grabbing the fish's attention. So a lot of our baits and a lot of the stuff that I make always has that translucent piece to it. So that light penetration will go there, and you're not the fish just isn't seeing a, if it's an opaque bait, like a traditional white. They're seeing the shadow.
Sure.
But there's no depth to it.
Right.
So as soon as you get that little translucent piece to it and light starts penetrating,
hold that up to light.
I was noticing that I noticed I was getting more strikes off of baits that were had a little bit more translucent.
I don't know how to show that too. Something. I don't know how you would show that, but hold on a minute. I think I can do this with my flashlight on my phone.
Flashlight.
Yeah. So let me see if we can kind of show you this color scheme on it. Yeah, yeah,
there you go. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, it's doing it for us, but you can't really see it in there. Hold on, let me, if I get it right up here.
Yeah, welcome to my life, man. I can't get that stuff in photography to save my life, man.
All right, look, so.
You can kind of see it there.
I mean, look at that. Hold on, man. There we go. Look at that, man. I mean, that's.
Yep, look down here. That's where you can really see it.
Yeah, I mean, that's. Yeah. Let me try to back it up a little bit. There you go. That's a hot-ass color, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. With a double Z, baby. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Double Z, baby. Wow, man, I like it, man. I mean, the thing that sets these baits apart from everybody is how durable is your bait. I mean, we've all learned that just with snakeheads, especially.
We learned that quick.
I mean, with bass and stuff like that, I mean, the baits will last a lot longer. So, I mean, and I'm not just, you know, I say this, when I see a product and it's good and I like it, then I speak highly of it. I mean, anybody here can tell, Darryl Willie, my cousin JR, all these guys around here, you know, when you guys come out with a good product, I ain't got no problem saying something good about it. Right. I mean, I haven't thrown it, and I'm just looking at the head design. I'm looking at the eyes that you've got on that thing there, how just they look great, man. They really do. And this blue, like Gary was saying, man. You hold
it. So what do you sell that bait for?
Gosh.
So I think the jig spinner's right there. I think I got them at $449 on the website. Just released them this week. So we had some requests last year, and that was my my off-season project. The jig heads and the baits. So each bait that's on there, what we've done is we've taken stock jig colors and stock soft bait colors, thrown it in with the jig spinner that we do the forms ourselves. And it's just, we kind of tried to match them up to the best to get a little bit of as much of our product spread across all the different jig spinners that we have.
Right.
But that's what goes into it. If they get a jig spinner and they go, man, like he said, that blue, they really love the soft bait, right? Well, you can go to the website and you can order that soft plastic directly in packs of 8 on the 375s.
Don't you remember Scratch and Sniff? I just had an idea here, man.
Uh-oh.
If we could make your flavored bait and you could add your scratch and scent to your sticker. Sorry.
That's a terrible idea.
Doesn't matter what it smells like, does it?
That's right.
This is the shad line. This is the mud shad line. This is the catfish.
Most of those stickers are going on fishing coolers and tackle boxes anyway, so they're wind up getting that scent on it anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, you don't know me. I'll put them on my legs. I'll put them on my ass cheeks. I'll put them somewhere at the crab stand. Don't you worry.
Oh, man. So how long have you been doing making lures?
So off and on, pretty much since my childhood.
Okay.
It started out as hobby. So I grew up in Ocean City, fished the back bays. My family was they predominantly drowned a lot of bait, right? We did minnows, shiners, squid, you know, just drifting for flounder. Then I started going, there has to be more to fishing. There's got to be more to saltwater fishing than this. So I started, you know, on television, you saw Roland Martin and you saw all the bass guys.
Right.
And I'm like, there's got to be a way. You could do that in saltwater. So that's what started me experimenting. And back then, in the early 90s, it was all grubs. It was all white. It was all red and white. It was all chartreuse. It was all red jig heads.
You're speaking Kaz's language.
No, the story that he's telling, like, this is me when I came to the Eastern Shore and caught my first bunch of white perch over at Smithville Bridge and realized there were other opportunities in that river than white perch
Right.
that people didn't know about. You know, and I totally get what he's saying right now.
Yeah.
Because I was in that bass scene my whole life.
Yeah.
All over the country fishing tournaments, up and down the East Coast. You know what I mean? So I was in that, you know?
Yeah.
When I got here and I caught white perch, and people were like, hey, they showed me a bucket of white perch. What's so big about that, dude? I catch bluegills that big in ponds all the time. Then I found a white perch like 13 inches. Yeah. I'm like, damn. And then somebody showed me one. It was 14 and a half. I'm like, damn. So I get it 100%,
yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah, you know? And then it just started, I didn't like what I was seeing, you know. And then it was, you know, spec rigs. I used to use those off of the Oceanic Pier in Ocean City, catching trout under the incoming high tide at night. And a lot of those were yellow and white, and the trout didn't react to it very well. So the first thing I did is after I had a bad night, and I went back and I talked to my grandfather, and my uncle, and my grandfather is actually in the logo of my company. That's his profile pic. And so talked to him, and he was like, you know, they used to make those spec rigs white with a chartreuse stripe. Well, they stopped making them. I said, I'm going to chip all the paint off of these. I went to the local department store, got model paint. First thing I did, dip them in white, green stripe. They looked hideous. But sure, I went right out the next night, and I mean, I'm killing them. Everybody's like, what are you using? What are you using? I'm like, I'm using spec rigs. Every single guy walked down the end of the pier, was buying the yellow ones that didn't work.
This is crazy.
And then I'm sitting here going, and they'd come out and they wouldn't have, and they're like, man, they're just not working for me like they are you. And I'm like, huh. Well, I'm going to just keep this to myself, right? But then as I get older, and I always had that dream as a kid, I wanted to start my own lure business. And my life drugged me into supply chain and a business degree and working warehouse transportation logistics. But yet it was always started nagging at me later in life. And even as I was doing it as a hobby, you know, a buddy of mine was like, hey, you should start a business. And I was like, I don't know if I should. And, you know,
but we know
after,
that.
After enough beers at the end of the day, that's you right. go, yep, I'm going to start a business.
I mean, a lot so, of yeah, bad decisions
it's a dead deal, you know. And it started out, I was doing it off and on while I was working a 60, 70, 80 hour a week job and kind of doing what JR's doing, right? You come home and you're tinkering around. Tinkering around in the shop until I mean,
he's gonna
the
have to make a
morning choice
soon too, you know.
Yeah, and for me that was my wife. I got a very supportive wife, and I was doing the taxes, and I told her how much, you know, the first couple of years, you know, you got that heavy investment phase,
right?
And for me, it was what's my niche, you know. You got to throw a bunch of stuff against the wall to figure out what sticks, and what gravitated was the soft plastics, which I didn't think it was going to be. I was doing a lot of jigs. I was doing a lot of bucktails. I was doing a lot of things. And then I was like, well, you know what? Soft plastics is a good addition to the jigs. And then I quickly realized I was selling 7 packs of baits to every 1 pack of jigs. So now the jigs are an add-on to the baits. So now the jig spinners are complementary to everything, because when you're running production, your numbers never come out right. So as a business, you always have that dilemma at the end of your run going, I got 5 extra baits and I put them in packs of 8, right? Or I'm not counting the jigs as I'm powder coating. So now all of a sudden I've got 3 extra jigs. What do I do with all this stuff? Well, if I twist up a wire form, make it into a jig spinner, I'm never wasting anything. I don't have product laying around, right? So it was just, you start learning all this stuff and, yeah,
I want to interrupt you right there because you said something beforehand. And I just want to bring this up because you're talking about not wasting anything.
Oh yeah.
Now me and you were talking a little bit about, you know, short printing and things like that and how to sell more product. But
right.
Honestly, before I go there, as you're telling your story the whole time, I'm sitting here because today on our Snakehead 101, I wanted to feature this today, which I keep in my box at all times. For the exact reason that you just said about Ocean City and yellow.
Yeah.
Because here it was white, chartreuse, pearl.
Oh, yeah.
And when the bite stopped, I realized with a Sharpie, by putting lines on it, I could catch 3 more fish. I know it sounds crazy.
It is crazy.
And I'm bringing this up because you also offer these people so that you don't waste any product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call it a recycled bait. Let's call it a short printed, one of a kind color that you're only going to find for a couple of days. So you better buy it now, bait.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That kind right. of thing. You're just killing me because, like, I'm listening to you talk and I'm there, man. Like, everything you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, your whole saltwater thing, when I came, like, man, everybody uses white. Let me try something else. Then JR gave me some stuff to try, and I'm like, damn, dude, these things work better than the white chartreuse, this and that. You know what I mean? So, and I ain't going to lie. I mean, I'm still looking at that. I mean, that.
That's pretty.
The killer minnow. Yeah.
I mean.
You know, and so I have to live vicariously through others. So as a bait maker, I don't get to fish much. So I encourage everybody that purchase product to, you know, send me pictures.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
If you look at the website, you know, all those pictures, I'm in a couple of them, but most of them, they're all submitted pictures, and I've got a whole bunch more, and I just need to add them to the website for the customer testimonials.
See, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Maybe we're doing right there. We're going to give away one of these right now.
Go for it.
We need somebody to take a picture. So here, I'll tell you what. In the comments, Eddie, you tell them, what do we want to write in the comments, and we'll let you have that right there. How's that?
That's a good question. What should they say?
Gary, what do you think? What should they say?
I like the glitter.
I like the glitter.
First person to write, I like the glitter, bam, you got it. There you go. Pick it up downstairs at the counter next to Visit the Wolford store. Right. I'll put your name on it in a minute.
We know who has a pocket full of $1 bills.
At times.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've pretty much, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Everybody out here is vying for a product right now. And
pretty much.
Unfortunately, a lot of people are making the same exact bait, and it turned into price wars. So.
What makes you different?
That being said, that's what's coming out of my mouth.
Yep. Lance Reynolds, you got the bait.
Okay, there you go, buddy. You got it. So that's the thing. I mean, you know, I mean, you put this out there. This is one of a kind. You know what I'm saying? I think
one thing else we didn't even talk about is you take this and my glasses on, but.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. If they're not responding to that.
Tears the tail up. You don't even bother to put another tail on. Just put another one on. Boom.
Yep.
You're right back. 10 seconds, you're back fishing again.
Yep.
Just like that.
Easy peasy.
So that's why you got all them. I've always wondered why Gary's got all these pre-rigged baits laying in his box.
Change
and
them
I
out,
always
baby.
Watch him. Because I always take time, you know, to sit there and my hook's bent and do all that. I just figured you out, sucker. So look. So while I'm back here and I'm trying to rig and straighten my shit and bend my stuff back, that's why he's getting in the water back right out. And I realized I'm turning around. And I was like, what'd you cut it off for? Straighten out. I ain't got time for that. So now I know why he's got him. I'm serious. Open the box. Like, five of this color, five of that color. Order on the jig head, ready to go. I'm like, well, isn't that wasted? I mean, like, aren't you wasting jig heads? He's like, no, because everyone's getting used. I'm like, damn, I never thought about
that. You know
where
I got that from? I got that from tog fishing. Used to tog fish with a friend of mine. That's when you could catch more than one or two at a time, you know, and keep them. And tog are notorious for coming up and just crunching your bait and sucking it off there and smacking the hook with his tail on his way away. So I told him one day, I said, I've got them, so we're going to warp them today. So we went over there, and what I'd bought was some black hooks, but I bought treble hooks. And I bought black open swivels. Tied the swivel on the line and took the treble hook off. I had all the treble hooks laying in the tackle box. We were using speckle crabs. We'd pull the back shell off the speckle crab and right in front of his apron, shove that eye of that treble hook down on there and pull him down on there, hook it on there. Throw it over, catch a tog, and you brought him in. You just took a pair of pliers, held on to it, took the hook off, left it in the fish, put another one on. You didn't have time to fool with it. And we caught our limit, and we're out of there like in 25 minutes.
Wow.
Sounds a little obsessive and compulsive.
I don't know. I just carry six.
Sounds like it works
fishing,
to me.
It sounds like fishing.
Oh, it worked great. I mean, you don't miss them because they couldn't get that bait off there without getting hooked.
Anybody that's ever fished with me will tell you I bring six fishing poles.
So,
what I do is I rig them up. Because you never know where in the water column they are that day.
Yep.
And if for me, every minute, every second my line's not in the water, I'm missing a fish in my mind.
It's fair to say, Brian, you're as sick as the rest of us, Brian.
So it's I'm going to have whatever, various ounces, various color patterns, whatever, and you just throw that spread, right? And you're trying to figure out where in the water column they are, what they're reacting to. And to be completely honest, that's why I took the hobby to a sick point to where my wife told me I had to make a business decision because it gets real expensive in your tackle box when you're trying to carry one of everything with you.
Yes, that's the truth.
And I fish, like we were talking earlier, I fish saltwater like most guys fish freshwater. I'm looking for heavy structure. I'm looking for skinny water, and you're going to lose a lot of jig heads, man. And, you know.
That is the flip side, too. Like, I can't lie. Like, these guys will see me down here in the bridges, and I'm jigging the oyster bed, and I'm snapping off. Like, why do you keep jigging? I'm like, Because that's what. Because
there's because one of these times.
Because that's what they want. You know?
One of these times. One of these times, I'm going to think I'm snagged, and it's going to start taking out some drag.
But you've got that friend that looks you, and he's like, "Yeah, but dude, that's $5 a bait, man. I've watched you lose 7 or 8 of them already." Yeah. And like, here's the sickness, you know. So just break it down. You get the 139, 42-inch rockfish off Fishing Creek Bridge on your jig, and you broke off 8. Most guys going to walk off that bridge and be like, that was worth $40, man.
Well, another thing is, you just tie
another one. Isn't that crazy, though, when you think about it like that? Like, I sat here and I thought about it before.
I don't think of life that way. No, I don't. No, it's very depressing.
You know?
I mean, it's another thing. I'll break stuff off, and I won't go get it. No. I'll keep it on fishing there until I fished it out. I mean, it's going to be there 20 minutes later. Just go get it right there.
Okay,
but if you move in there to get it, you're going to scare whatever's in there out of there.
Yeah. I got to throw Ricky under the bus real quick about how we fish Blackwater when we're out here, right? So if he hangs up, we don't reel it in. Just stays there. I mean, cast again, hang another one up. We're drifting down the rip. He's just letting line out with this one. Letting this. Now, before you know it, he's got the anchor or the boat position where I can't even make a cast, because if I do, I'm going over all his broken, hung up lines. He's got his one little pocket over here he's got open for himself to fish. And I'll be like, are we going to get these lines cleaned up at any time so I can get myself back in the water too, or what? You know, I love you, Ricky. I'm just giving you a hard time. But
he ain't worried about you. He wants to catch his fish, not yours.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, but don't mess your spot up. Fish
right,
it out.
Exactly.
Right, and that was his point. No, I'm not going over there and breaking the line, man. I'm going to leave it hanging there, dude, until we're done. They won't go and run the motor through there and scare this whole school of fish out.
Yep.
You know, and like things like that, I didn't understand growing up. And we learn as we go, you know, and it's like, it's so cool because just the whole learning curve that you're talking about through this podcast is like, you know, you guys out there building baits and doing all this, you know, if you're new in the business and you're trying to break in the business, listen to what this man's saying today, because it's real. You know, we thought 8 years ago, Eddie, you know, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this. And we're getting to a point where we've got to condense and we've got to, you know, put all this package into one thing: the club, the tournaments, the podcast, the seminars, the school sessions. You know what I mean? Yep. But
I got one piece of advice: it's you listen to your customers.
Yep.
So you hit that on
if,
the head.
You got to pick what you want to be, right? If you're going to make a durable product, then you're going to introduce at first what you like. They use it and they go, "This is a very durable product. Have you thought about doing this color pattern? Have you thought about doing that?" Like, so a lot of this business, I can't take credit for, right? A lot of the color patterns, I can't take credit for. These are user submitted, you know, customer feedback. And I'm just being responsible. They're like, "Hey, can you make this pattern?" I'll be like, "I'll try. I'm not going to completely knock that company off. I'll match it. It's not going to be 100% match, because I'm going to do it with my own twist." So as a bait maker, don't ever want to take somebody else's idea.
Right.
Right. Do it similar with your twist on it, because it really is like you're taking another bait maker's soul when you're just completely knocking them off completely.
And I think one of the biggest lessons that bait builders
learn, somebody's going to do it to you.
Even me, you know, years ago, pouring catfish sinkers and things like that, you know, once you have found the gold piece, and you, like, I sat there for like 5 years pouring weights, going to shows, selling them at shows to catfishermen, making the bill, the gas, the this, I'm walking out with $300 for a 4-day show, you know what I mean? Yeah, my expenses are paid at a good time, made lots of people, but I'm not seeing the bread, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't have the right thing. And then I came up 1 year with this thing called the Kaz Rig on Conowingo Lake, and I was winning these tournaments, and I started pouring a little split shot to use, you know, and it became the thing that finally did it for me.
Yeah.
Where I went wrong 10 years ago is, as the bait grew and grew and grew, it fizzled out. So instead of looking for what was my next niche going to be,
right,
I stood there 5 years in and said, "You know what, man? I made all my money. I'm not playing this game anymore. Dude, I'm done. I got my shit. I'm going to sell my molds. I'm going to sell everything. I'm out of here."
Yeah. And
you know, and that's what I see a lot. And that just, this goes back to when I got sober. Don't give up before the miracle happens. You know, don't you give up before the miracle. I don't care how many times you go up to that liquor store, how many times you fall in that parking lot, how many times you throw up. Don't you give up. Mike Iaconelli, that's his big thing. It's always been never give up. That's why I love that dude from the beginning. When I saw him break dance on his boat when I was a little kid on the front of that boat, I was like, "Dude, there's my man right there. I like that guy." You know what I mean? So Yeah, your customers, man. You hit the nail on the head there. They will tell you everything you want to be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you do them dirty, you don't do them right. Mm. You may not say something to you. It'll say something somewhere else.
Word will get around.
And it'll hurt, you know what
so
I mean?
So this is what I will say about the fishing community. It's smaller than you realize.
It is.
I think, you know, just how
and
you
we're
and
just
I started,
keeping it real I mean, right I've, now. We're I've just
known,
keeping it real.
I've known about you for several years, but I, you know, I just, I'm not right. a snakehead guy. I'm like, right. man, this Kaz guy, man, you know, he's, a, you know, and I would read some things and be like, all right. And then just so happened, you know, just talking to JR because we fished the same tournament. And
I love him.
He came down to fish the Tangier Classic, which I've helped sponsor for the first 2 years, going to do it again this year. He came down and fished it with his daughter.
Yep.
And then we started talking through Facebook last fall. And then I came up with some baits and he was like, hey man, I want to do some pre-rigs. So, you know, we worked out a kind of a partnership deal where cool. I'm going to offer you some Good. Discounted pricing. Cause I know you're a small business like I am. Anything I can help you.
And he's honest.
Yeah. You know, anything I can do to help you out.
Those are the kind of people you want to do business with.
Right. It's always got to, if you're going to get into business with somebody, it better be a partnership.
Right.
It's got to be mutually beneficial where both parties are going to be able to grow together. Right. And so, and then he just happened to just say, hey, you know, Kaz is my cousin. I'm like, did not know that. Small
did you
world.
Say I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. right. But it, just it, say I'll pray for
but
you.
but it just goes to show, you know, I'm talking to JR from a tournament. I know of you. Right. And then quickly realize, wait, they're cousins. So now here's where I'm at. And so, but if I would have done him dirty at any one point, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
You're right.
And so, you never know who you're talking to, who they know.
Yep.
Right. And so, you just always try to treat everybody with respect. And,
you know, the thing that we've learned
and
here.
And take criticism well, because you're not going to make everybody
that's
happy.
Exactly
nope.
Right.
Nope.
So
I have a question. How do you balance people's request to sticking to your original ideas at the same time?
Last year, terrible at it, right? So
hey, he's being honest.
If anybody watched the Outdoors Del Marva, man, I can tell you all the first year full time in business, I can tell you all the wrong things to do. This year, having that year, it was a great learning experience for me getting into it full time, looking out past the hobby, going, this year I'm structuring it. I'm a little bit behind, but it's, you know, I think 28 different hammer colors.
It's called growth.
That's all it's going to be this year.
It's called growth.
That's all it's going to be this year is 28 basic colors, right?
It still seems like a lot of colors.
It is. It is. It is. It's 28 different patterns and it's a lot, but it's something I can manage. Right. And then, you know, throughout the year, there's some ideas that I wanted, but realized I can't release this in the 28. Right. So when I get time or if I get time, that's where we start doing. All right. Here's an idea I've had in my head. Cause I still got like 5, 6, 7 recipes on that paper. I really want to bring to market.
This guy, dude, he sounds like he's half as crazy as I am.
But I realized that I can't add that and manage that if I'm trying to, you know, manage and tackle store orders. And this year we're doing a lot of, work with guide boats and charter captains and so on and so forth. That's just too much because last year just managing a handful of stores, it's like, remember that custom green you made? No, I don't remember that custom green. I'm like, do you have a pack of them? Cause I need to remember what I made for you. Right. And so I was so scatterbrained and when they would tell me,
well, I get it.
Right. And so this year I'm like, I'm not making that mistake. Like, here's the catalog. This is what you're ordering. And throughout the year, I'm going to do a limited small batch. This is what the color is going to be. You know, if it sells out in 5 minutes, that goes in a check mark and going, this goes into next year's catalog.
That's right.
Like, just like crayon does with their colors. It doesn't work. Yeah. Get rid of that one.
If it sits on my shelves for 3 weeks, okay, cross that off the list. That's not going in next year's catalog. So you learn it as you go.
I've learned a lot of the scatterbrain myself.
I don't think you've learned anything about scatterbrain.
This is what I wanted to follow up with.
He has learned if he realizes he hasn't.
I just don't know what to do about it. So, but Eddie can tell you how many times a week.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, so I'm just sitting at my table watching the 11 o'clock news, and I've been thinking for 2 hours from going to bed about what I'm going to do. Yeah. You know, and I'll be like, Eddie, I just had to get an idea. What do you think of this? And I know he's not awake. I know he's going to sleep, but I do it because I know that if I don't do it then and there,
you won't remember.
I'll forget it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I won't remember it. You know what I mean? So there's been several times when I've said to Eddie, hey, what did I text you the other day? Because I don't remember. I know I sent you a message too and Gary a message. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this. Okay, do you think we should do that? Yeah. or no, I don't know.
You know? We'll talk it out and figure out what's the feasibility of it is.
Right, and you said the word partnership, you know, and that's, I think, the thing here for us. It's really helped out a lot is that we really work good together when we're together. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't charge anybody to come on here. We don't charge anybody to come here and talk about products. Right. You don't hear me out here asking for a handout.
Right.
We're doing this to build our platform for sure. We know we could get paid, but we want to help the community. We don't want to be that guy that's just taking and taking and taking and taking and taking and.
If you're going to exist in the community, you got to find ways of giving back.
And that's what I'm saying. And that's why we do these giveaways. That's why we do the things we do. You know, we want to say thank you. You said that. Your customers, that's the most important. You know, thanking them. I make these posts all the time. People are like, man, how many times are you going to thank that guy? Let me tell you what. How many times you walked away from somebody and said, man, god dang, I just wish you'd thank me one freaking time for the shit I do for you?
Right.
Not that you want to say it. You do want to say it. You don't say it.
It crosses your mind.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And you keep giving back. I posted that one that you keep helping others no matter what, man. No matter what comes down the tube, no matter how mad you are, no matter how resentful you are, if somebody's tried to cut you off in the past, stabbed you with the knife or whatever.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Let it go, man. Not let it go and let them grow. Just let it go. That's all. That's just kidding.
Angler's choice, right?
Right, absolutely. 100%. You know, I honestly feel that way. You know what I mean? And the people that know me know that I feel that way too. You know, I'm not out here asking people to change their mind. I'm out here asking people to pay attention. I'm asking people to help us. I'm asking people to help us put this puzzle together and really figure it out. Because here, you know, we were talking about this beforehand. I've been talking about this about a couple people. We've got more data coming released. We're going to be working on some more film here real soon with Steve. You know, I've already been talking to him about some stuff. I reached out to Jim Thompson about some things. I think what we're seeing kind of here with these snakeheads is kind of this. You know, areas of water and bodies of water that have pressure, have an abundance of different species, like from A to B. So when you look at something like the Potomac River, say, I know it's not 3,000 miles long, but it's 3,000 miles long. You've got 80 species of fish in here. It's going to take longer to see something as far as that impact goes that we saw in that short 10-year period right here at Blackwater. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this. You know, I know what's going on. I sit very quiet and just let people say what they want to say. Some of these places, these smaller bodies of water where they've shown up to in the last 2-3 years, okay? And you compare the data that's been collected here in, say, the Susquehanna River as a whole, and you go and you look at the data collected in the Bush River, a much smaller body of water, I don't want to say it has more areas to hide because a big river has as many areas to hide, period. I'm trying to break this down the way that I'm looking at it. I sit home and I question myself constantly, you know, where I stand. You know, am I politically correct? Am I morally correct? You know, So I battle with that constantly, and I want people to know that, you know, that I'm not out here asking you to just wipe the snakeheads off the earth. That's not what I'm asking you to do. You know, I'm all about the snakehead life. I want to go fishing just as much as the next guy. I want to try every freaking bait I see out here right now. I want to throw it. You know what I mean? But what I'm seeing in these smaller areas where they're being introduced.
Not good.
It's almost worse than the numbers here in some places. That's the scary part. Okay. And that's keeping it real. And you're going to see it in black and white. It's coming. We're putting the film together now. So there's the little teaser for that, Badger. Sorry if I blew it out the water.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. But so that's the thing, man. You know, I mean, my whole thing is this, you know. In the beginning, I thought snakeheads were just mass terror. No, I'm not saying that. I don't still think that.
In the beginning, you were in love with snakeheads. Yes,
I was. Yeah, you're 100% I was, man. I love these things, and you couldn't pull me away from the side of the road.
And then the data changed your mind.
Yeah, I mean, people will tell you in the beginning, you could not, I mean, I'd be selling crabs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You could not pull me off the side of the road somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was somewhere every day of the week. I mean, I was coming here every day. Hey, look, man, I just broke 100 a day for the first time. Dude, let's check this out. You know.
And that's not an exaggeration on his excitement.
I mean, serious. I mean, so, you know. And then it was like, you know, I saw the other side of this stuff that I was seeing in here, you know. And as I'm looking at the data that I've been able to look at so far, and I'm looking at all these other water systems around the bay, and I'm looking at the bigger bodies and the smaller bodies and where we're sampling, and everybody's like, well, that just makes sense. A smaller body of water, so there's going to be more fish. I'm talking about the abundance of species. You know what I mean? The percentage. That's what I'm talking about. The increased percentage in just three short years, and you're looking at these other species where they are, and you see this. You know, you look at the net numbers, and folks, you can go to DNR and you can get like catch logs. So if you want to go look at the river, your favorite river where your snakeheads may be showing up at or something like that, and you really want to do some homework and you really want to be as crazy and as digging deep as I am, call DNR and ask if you can get a look at some catch log reports from some of the rivers that you're seeing snakeheads showing up, and go and look at the last 5 years of abundance of species, let's call it, in white perch, yellow perch, because I can see it. And I'm not a biologist. I can see it when I take eight numbers, put it together, and I average it out. It's real easy to do. It's also real easy to turn your eye and say, ain't no fucking problem here, man. You know what I mean? And I just choose not to be that guy. I choose to be the guy that, you know, if the day comes and snakeheads and bass are going to the movies sharing popcorn, I promise you I'll be the first one to stand up and go to the movies with them and help them out.
You're popping popcorn for them.
Right?
But, you know, with data, scientific data, it takes time.
Yes.
And sometimes you can see things visually before you can actually prove it.
Well, that's the biggest problem is you can't – sometimes the problem is already too late before you have the data.
Yeah, it's like my pond home. Mm-hmm. I don't have snakeheads in it, and I know why. Prove me wrong.
Well, we know
nobody else has what
and
I have,
and we've shown the people.
And everybody else has snakeheads.
Yep.
So you got to prove me wrong. I know what I know.
Hey Gary,
and they can tell me what they want.
Gary. Should I tell them about our snakehead removal program that we'll be coming out with here this year? Or am I not supposed to?
No.
Hold off on that.
All right.
But it's, you know, it's just things you can prove to yourself sometimes, and only time and data will actually scientifically prove it. But you still know yourself, and we see things we just know.
I mean, we've taken risks. You know, we've tried things, we've learned through trial and error different things, and I think one of the most beautiful things about the pond is that you have been able to put that together like that. And I mean that, man. Like your neighbor has them. The other neighbor has them. Everybody
There's
has them.
Five ponds within a mile of my house. All of them have snakeheads but mine.
And I thought about things because we think about things. I look at Blackwater and then I look at the pond. You know what I mean? So if I don't know how
but
I'm trying
can't
to
replicate
explain,
what I've got I understand, in a river. That's the problem.
I understand that. But I'm saying like the folks here that are having the issues that are raising the ducks that we're talking to and things like that that don't know what to do. I mean, we're coming up with some solutions that are, let's use the word, less inhumane. You know what I mean? And it's simply by construction. You know, it's simply by changing something in the an old man told me one day, he says, you can't change the facts. You can change the outcome of the facts. And I never understood that again until I was like in my 30s. I mean, I posted the other day about cliches and how, you know, your family says them to you growing up, your dad, your mom, and you're just walking around time going, that's so stupid, man. I hope she never says that to me again. And then in your 30s, somebody says it again, you think about it, you're like, damn, dude, that's my life, man. Yep. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I want to ask this because I know some people are going to ask these questions. Can we talk about wire gauge? I mean, what do we have here? What are we looking at?
0.41.
What is the biggest fish that you have heard, seen, or that they've caught on the bay?
So we did some short production on that and did some R&D testing on it, and they were catching puppy drum on them with no problems. And that was the first thing I asked because they asked for redfish spinners, so... that's what I came up with.
You know, you got guys out there like John Hostaka and them other guys, you know, they're all big into the salt too. And I love watching them YouTubes, them guys doing them stuff they put together out there, them kayaks. And I don't know if he's getting anything from you checking them out, but you might want to check that out, John. I'm telling you right there, Johnny, that is pretty, man. I ain't kidding you.
Yeah. And so that was the first thing I asked. I was like, how did the form? Because I wanted to go with a heavier gauge wire, and that was the heaviest. You know, COVID It's really tough on a bait maker, you know, like, so right now I've got a couple hundred of those already done up, but the problem is I've got like 3,000 of the barrel swivels on back order, and they can't tell me when they're coming in.
Yep.
So
trying to get ammunition.
Oh, you know, well, even hooks. So yeah. Mustad, we use Mustad on everything. And so I didn't really have a problem with Mustad all last year, and I was living the good life. You know, place my order, and I'm getting 2,000 here, 1,000 here, not a big deal. Then all of a sudden they're like, back order. I'm like, what do you mean back order?
We've dealt with it. We know.
And now it's every order I've got is about 3 months out. So it's like trying to triple up on the orders, going, well, if I'm going to wait 3 months, you better send me three times what I just ordered.
Yep. Well, it's kind of twofold, you know. I mean, it's a good position to be in to be that far out, but it's also a bad position to be at when it's in demand.
It's kind of funny. If I only got shipping down to 2 days and there's nothing to ship.
That's right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's we'll see as it goes. It could be something that is going to evolve into our heavier gauge. But right now, we haven't had any issues of them bending the wire.
We're going to test it. I can tell you that. You know, I'll put.
I think that gauge is rated up to 40 pounds. So you test it out. Let me know.
I mean,
I'm pulling on it. It's not doing much.
Well, you're not very strong, so.
Yeah. Don't be putting a hook through your hand in front of me either.
Addy, do you need one of these, man? You need a Snickers. I'm
just kidding. So we have a question for you on in the chat. It's what's your favorite lure to throw and favorite fish to throw at?
That's from Kevin at Bass Rack Outdoors.
For me, wow. I should lie, but I'm going to be completely truthful. So, still to this day, I'm still a red and white guy. I mean, that's my cheeseburger bait, man. So, I throw, if I'm ever fishing somewhere for the first time and I'm just trying to figure out what's there, I'm throwing a red jig head with a white paddle tail.
And what are you throwing it at?
Typically, do I have a fresh... I love speckled trout.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I think they're a blast to catch.
Pretty.
They are a pretty fish. They taste really good.
They hit hard, too.
But, you know, as you're targeting speckled trout, you know, you're going probably through the same water column as bluefish and striper and all kinds of other things, which is why I really like fishing the Tangier Sound, the diversity of what you can catch there. And there's perch, and there's you can get into puppy drum and go a couple miles in either direction, and you're in bull reds.
The drum were amazing. Cobia, this year, you know?
It's just crazy down there, and it's my favorite place to fish. So,
Let me think. I know these things would work on snakeheads. There's no doubt in my mind about that. So I'm anxious to put that to the test. I mean, I have a feeling these things would be excellent on largemouth bass, and I'll tell you where I think these would really be great is in the rocky reservoirs around the state, you know, coming down the ledges with this thing and walking that. So I know that I can help you find some freshwater market for this stuff with
you. Awesome.
And I will do that for you. That's we got
pictures in last year. Guys were taking them, and they were catching snakeheads on them last year.
You know, just, Gary, next week when we go over to the pond fishing or whatever, and you decide to pick up the Nepsiglia, let's leave this laying over there. And see, if you can't, and see if you can't get the 32. I'm telling you what, that bass had hit that spinner the other night. It was a big slob, and I'm telling you, when he hit that thing, dude, it was like a summertime explosion when he nailed that thing right next to the bank.
Yeah, it's funny, I'll take minutes home.
And it had to. I could not hold my hand in there. It was so cold, man, you know.
And I'll dump them in the pond when I'm done fishing. Take them home and dump them in there. And when you dump them in there, if it's still daylight, most time that you know, even the crappie will come out and start grabbing the bluegills to get the little ones, and then the bass will start banging on them. But if you wait till just at dark, it's like you dump them in there, nothing happens for about 15 seconds, and you're about 10 steps away, and it sounds like somebody's throwing rocks in the water, you know, and they just start blowing them up, man.
Should we talk about Snakehead 101? You want to do a little talk here for a minute? So we're going to add something to the podcast every week. We talked about that. It's going to be called Snakehead 101, just like we went to school, English 101, whatever the hell it was. So
Kaz never got past 100, though.
Did I get out of ninth grade? I'm going to keep it real right here, okay? My friends back home, they know, okay? So I failed ninth grade 3 times, and finally it was like, let's hit the
how
road.
How many times did it take you to get through ninth
grade? That's what I'm saying. Third time's a charm, right? Right? So third time I failed, my mom and dad, I'm like, I don't want to go to school. I'm making more money out here riding my skateboard and doing this than I'll ever make sitting in a classroom for 7 hours a day.
12 years of school's enough?
And my parents were just to the point where they were like, you know what, Gary, you're going to hell. But I mean, seriously, man, my parents were like, you know what? He doesn't want to go to school. He literally, I was a 4.0 student, 145 IQ. I mean, I wasn't a dummy. I just literally didn't like school anymore. And part of it was that I got pushed around a lot. I didn't stand up for myself. I've been a yes guy my whole life. That's the one thing I forgot I want to say about business when we were talking about business. Mm-hmm. You got to watch that word, yes.
Yeah. You know, it gets you in trouble every time.
And my friends that are friends will tell you I'm just as guilty as a friend in that way. Yeah, dude, I'll be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'll see you there. Oh, you're coming in town this week, 3 o'clock. Do work up the hotel. Oh, man, I'll be around and do some fishing.
Let's throw that podcast 3:30.
But I'm just saying the schedule changes so fast. You know what I mean? It's almost hard to keep the flow. So I'm learning through this endeavor to use the word no. You know, and for the friends in my life through the years that I've always said to you, yes, 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 I'm sorry. I never realized, you know, really what it did to our friendship and how it really looked in the real world. You know what I mean? And that's me, you know, looking back. So, again, we learn as we grow. So, Snakehead 101 this week, you know, it was funny because you're telling a story. You're talking about changing colors and things like that. So, in the beginning, for me, a lot of people ask me, you know, smell that?
No, I didn't smell it.
I can smell. Yeah.
Is that COVID or what?
I can smell it now, yeah. Okay. With the pack open.
So, this is called Spike It, okay? And I have used this.
I didn't know you played volleyball.
For years.
Oh, see garlic written on it. Yeah, there you go.
So, the thing is, you know, you were talking about it, Brian, you know, about the same old thing, the same old thing. And I noticed a lot of times that the same old thing only worked for 3 days. You know what I'm saying? Especially with these snakeheads and the memory that
they
have.
Very much so.
So when I was doing my personal studying that was not legal at my farm by keeping snakeheads in tanks to do color coordination and see how what their memory was, you know, this was part of that little thing that I did was these pens, you know. You can take these pens from Spike It, and you can take any kind of bait that you got there, any kind of plastic. What do we have here on the table? Like, just give me a plastic. Here.
This one's broken. Here, this one's broken.
Okay, no. So let's look at this. So here's one of Darryl Willie's splatter baits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Darryl Willie makes a great splatter bait, you know, and Gary was going to talk
still
about
Gary's
this.
Favorite.
So I'm going to let Gary talk about this in our second part, okay? I want a splatter bait to be part two. So, you know, part one of Snakehead 101 today is don't be afraid to make a change. Don't be afraid to think outside the box. So I learned real on that, you know, if I took my baits and I just, you know, just did something stupid.
You never liked coloring inside of lines, did you?
Nah, man.
There's no straight lines in nature. So, okay.
So I would do stupid things like this, folks. And these are just little tips that I'm going to pass along. And you're going to be able to find it in the book called To Harvest a Dragon that I'm writing.
I can feel Daryl cringing through
I know,
video.
Daryl. I'm sorry.
I used to date a girl that had a white cat, and I did that to her cat one time.
Yeah, you probably didn't have that friend anymore.
Didn't go too well.
But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, so, you know, you could take the orange, and you could do that in orange and throw that for 10 casts, you know, and get yourself your 3 more fish after your bite dies down. And now you've got your 3 more, and you got the same bait. You know they want it, but they've seen the same color because we've already proven through my little study the memory.
I thought you were about to draw on your face.
I'm not scared. So anyway, so, you know, you change it up again, man. You can take the pen and just, you know, just, hey, I think I'll make me some bloodlines here. Let's call it some bloodlines on this thing, you know. I mean, I'm not even really touching this thing. I'm just barely touching it, you know. Now,
are we going to change this to Bob Ross?
Happy Tree.
I was going to start talking like that in just a second, so he just blew that for me. I was going to say, isn't this pretty and kind? Think of butterflies.
Kevin Kenny Halloween edition. And
here's another bloodline, because everybody needs a friend.
Everybody needs a friend line. Here's another bloodline, yeah. So this is what I'm talking about. You know, subtle changes like this, you know, while you're out, and a simple investment of, I don't know what they are, $5, $6, maybe something like that. I don't have any more than that. I have no idea. Bottom line, it's the worst investment. This pack,
it's cheaper than a new lure.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I just opened
this
pack up. You
can smell the garlic all the way.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you ever wonder what in the water smells like garlic?
Garlic. Yeah.
But, I mean, garlic doesn't grow in the water.
Well, see, here's what
fish like it.
That's true.
They like coffee, too. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And WD-40? They like that? That's not probably very legal anymore, but, you know, but I did years ago. I used to, God damn, if I didn't have 2 or 3 or 4 bottles of WD-40 laying in the bottom of my tackle box.
An old-timer once told me that, you know, you should start chewing tobacco because they like the smell of of the spit on the bait. Like, if you can't catch a fish, just spit on it.
It's like the guy
it's
I was talking.
It's just an odor. Yeah. You know, it's a taste in the water is all. This
just changes the flavor.
I would probably be smelling that for the next 3 weeks in here.
You will if you don't take a shower with it on your nose like that.
I forgot about that, man. Yeah. Dude, my dog's going to go crazy when I get in the car, dude. I'm not even going to drive anywhere for an hour.
If you still got it on her next week, we'll change color.
That'll keep me coming back, right?
No, that's not the same one, folks. See, this one's purple.
I tell you what, man. I mean, this is fun. I mean, I'm having fun. I hope everybody else out here is having fun. Yeah,
that's the point, man.
You know, where can you sit in a little room with a couple guys and just laugh your ass off for
an hour?
An hour and 13 seconds as of right now. You know what I'm saying? So you can go ahead and finish off a couple minutes. Why don't you talk about that splatter bait, and then we'll get out of here. We'll let Brian finish up a little bit. I got a secret question for him he's not aware of yet.
I'll just say this. I mean, you're looking at these two. Basically the same. This got a split spinner. This has just got a paddle. This has just got a round one. Daryl's has the little thing, and what it does, it makes it rattle a little bit through the water. But this bait doesn't come with this tail. Actually, I just put this on there a little while ago. And what I found with these is it's like, Kaz, you're out there and you're fishing. This is one of my absolute favorite baits to use.
That broke his ass,
And I'll get out there, and it'll just stop. So one day it did. It just died out, and it was kind of hot. So I just went just like this and shoved it on there, turned it up, threw it over, and when I cast it, something happened, and it went to the bottom. It wasn't that deep. I mean, you know, you're in the black water, the bottom didn't take long to get to. And I just pulled it and kind of bumped it a couple times, and I could feel it dragging across the bottom, and like the third time, bang, like a 32-inch one, just boom, hit it. So then I started fishing it like that, and what I found, when you put that tail on there and that tail drags across that bottom and you pull it up and it moves, I don't know what they think it is. But when they hit it, man, it's like a linebacker. Slam them.
I've thought about it since you said it time and time again, over and over again, and this is going to sound super crazy to you. But, like, here's the thing. If you look at this blade, and I don't know that really does what I'm thinking, but think about a crawfish. You know, you lay on the bottom, you stop your bait, and it's just sitting there like this. And when a crawfish backs up, first thing he does is pick his hands up like this to try to scare his prey, and he backs up through the water like that, right? Yeah. So I've thought several times after you made that comparison and was telling me, hey, man, let's sit on the bottom for a minute, pick it back up, man. You know, if you're missing them, man, let it sit there for a minute. It's like they're looking at it, and as soon as you move it, man, they grab it. And you were right.
You do the same thing like with rubber worms and
bass. I understand, but what I'm saying, I think the thing that makes this bait special is that right there and the shape. You know, because in my eyes, I might think as a snakehead or as a bass down in the bottom to see that two-pronged blade spinning like that, I might think it's some claws coming out at me. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that I'm right on that, but I thought about that and why the splatter bait's so good to you, you know, and why you just, God, I mean, I've caught fish on it. But I tell you what, I'm not lying. I mean, Gary, if I had to sit next to Gary and us both throw a splatter bait, I'm definitely not entering the tournament. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I'm just saying. And speaking of tournaments, before I forget, you know, the snakeheadclub.com. You know, we've been working on that for a couple years, and the COVID thing is pretty much what held us up with a lot of that last year. So I've mentioned to Eddie what I'd like to do here at the store, and I'm willing to give up the time on my own time and do this to help. You know. Maybe once a week or once a month for 1 hour, I'll come to the store and we'll pick the hour that I'll be at the store, and I'll be willing to meet anybody that wants to come down here and sit here and bull crap for an hour. You want to pick my brain? That's fine. But that has nothing to do with the club. That just has to do with, you know, if you've got questions, you're in the area, we'll pick one day a week that I can meet with you. You know, if I'll be at Friday at 4 o'clock, I'll be there for an hour till five, something like that. I'll try to make it as convenient for people so they can hit it on the way home or on the way here, so we're not interrupting their fishing trip. But we realized last year that, you know, not that I'm trying to be that guy, but we noticed that the more people that we were talking to when they came in the stores, you know, they were buying more bait. You know, when somebody comes into a store and there's not somebody there to talk to, they're probably not buying as much bait because they don't know what to buy. So through Snakehead 101, the snakeheadclub.com, you know, the once a week or bi-weekly time that I meet you here just to talk snakehead and bullcrap and help you fill your box and get yourself on the right way with your new rod, your new reel, your new whatever. You can check out snakeheadrod.com, snakeheadreel.com. We got them all. So, you know, you can Google them and we can help route you to the people that may be able to help you with the products that you're looking for. That's why we wanted to do this 101 thing every week. We want to give back even more than we're already giving to the community. So I think by doing this each week, you know, and helping the community, that helps us and it helps the community as a whole. And that's what we're trying to do. Before I forget, we created the new page, snakeheadusa.com. Yep. You know, we've been holding on to that name for a couple years here now, and we decided to do something with it. And I want to talk a little bit about that. I know we're running over the hour, and I know we try to stay an hour, but these are things that I think are worth spending a couple more minutes on. We all know in the snakehead world that, I don't know what the word is, division, arguing, drama, whatever, man. It's
not just in snakehead world. That's just America
it's
right now.
Well, it's everything as a whole. But there's so much of it right now in with what we're all into. You know what I mean? So I was thinking, you know, how could we create a page that could be virtually drama-free?
As unified as possible.
See, Eddie, that's why I love you. I don't know them big words. How do you spell that? Do you know? No, I'm just kidding.
T-H-A-T.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. You know, all these things that we're doing are to help you. I mean, yeah, they help us. You know, and the guys that are always like, oh, you guys are rich. You guys are dead.
Your buddy.
Yeah, man. I'm living in the camp. Reddy's, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul to keep floating. Eddie, you know, Gary's swinging hammers and tearing apart. He's retired and he's still working, you know. So, yeah, we're rich, man. Yeah, buddy. It's never been about money, you know, really, for us. It's been about giving back. It's been about making a difference. That's just the bottom line, you know. As a human, I want to be a guy that if I can make a difference and have the opportunity to do that, I want to do that, you know, as just being a good person, you know. So we got the tournaments coming back. We got to come back. Snakeheadusa.com, the purpose of the page is just pretty much going to be you can post your picture. That's it.
That's it.
You can't leave a comment. You can't write in the heading, hey, Bob here, I caught this on an Aquafina 16-ounce bottle trolled behind a...
That's a 1 liter.
Oh, whatever. I don't drink water, so I wouldn't know.
Use the garlic pen.
But so we wanted to make a place that everybody could go to from wherever you're from. Post your pictures. No comments. So there can't be no bullshit. I said it. I'm not using the P, bullshit. No more bullshit. You know what I mean? So you can go to the snakeheadusa.com page. You can post one picture every day. That's how we want it. We know guys are posting 3, guys are posting 8. So it's going to take some time for me to understand how the page is going. I know you guys are messaging me. Hey, this guy put a comment. Look, I'm doing my best to keep up with it, but the page is unfolding fast as woo. You know what I mean? It's been quick. 3 days, dude, and it's like off the hook. So I think that we found that niche that you hear Brian talking about, you look for in baits. I think we just found that niche in the snakehead world now that we can use as a platform to stop the bullshit. You know what I mean? If you can't leave a comment, you can't argue with the guy. You can't call him a name. You can't do this. You can't do nothing. And if you can't write a caption, you can't advertise. You can't promote. You can't do that. So just you, your pick, your snakehead, your kid with the pick, whatever. You know what I mean? It can't get any simpler than that as far as I'm concerned. Even though we know we have people that are still having problems. I mean,
someone will find a way.
This is the simplest way that we could figure out for us.
6 stickers, a hat, a t-shirt. You're still going to advertise.
Well, that's what I said. I said, if you've got your shirt on, you know, hey, look, and I found this today. I may have found it. I've lost them. This is the original one that we first ever made. Remember that one?
I remember.
So, you know, I mean, if you got a shirt on, you got a hat on, that's fine. But if you're going to write in there, Hightech USA 6-inch flapper. No, I'm
Charlton, six packs of Guggen baits and a fish. Yeah, you're going to get figured out pretty quick.
Yeah, we're going to pull you off. I'm going to send you a message like I've been doing. Nice and polite. I haven't been rude at all. You know, I've been very polite to everybody. So, man, we got so much going on. It's just so much to talk about. Like, these hours just aren't enough anymore. I hate to say it, you know. First cast, we didn't even talk about that. We got that. We got to
we'll
get
have to say that for next time.
Yeah, I mean, so I know we're over the hour. So I don't know. That's all I really got today. Before we go, if anybody would like to have a free Wolford Store koozie, Brian, what do you want them to say? I love old school shit. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we'll just not put the just fish old school.
Fish old school. First guy puts in that fish old school, boom, get you free koozie. How about that? Maps Angler of the Week. What do we got today this week? Anything?
This week we have Zach Robbins put this picture up on Snakehead Life. He didn't post the little girl's name, but she looks mighty happy with that fish.
Yeah, you know what? I remember these pictures from back. These were throwback pictures.
Yep.
I think in the post he was saying something about he's anxious now that hunting season's over.
He's ready for fishing again.
Hunting season's never over because you're always hunting snakeheads, right?
That's right. Whether you're hunting fish or hunting snakeheads.
Yeah, I mean, but that is a beautiful picture, man. Look beautiful at the smile on little girl's face.
So Zach Robbins, come and stop here in the store. We'll give you your free MEPS.
Boom!
And anyone more, Scott?
No one more. We were going to give away some shrimp, but we don't have any shrimp to give away, so there's no sense in lying to anybody about anything. You know what I mean?
That's usually a good policy.
So would it be a lie if I said, man, this is one of the best-looking baits I've seen in a long time?
It's good bait.
I like them.
So anyway.
Appreciate that.
I don't know. That's about enough.
You got his question.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I forgot about that. So I got this from the Drew Carey show. I love Drew Carey. I've always loved Drew. Or not Drew Carey. What's her name? The new show, Drew Barrymore. I watch it every day, right? So she's got this thing she's doing there, Drew Barrymore. Here, I'm giving you a shout out. Maybe you can find me here. Just shout out to everybody else. So at the end of her show, she asks everybody a stupid question, you know, or something like that. You know, I think that the first guy that started doing that was one of the guys on the bands for who's the late show with Steve, the one after the Steve guy with glasses. I don't know.
The Steve guy with glasses.
The heavier set dude, bigger guy.
Corbin.
Yeah, it's Corbin. I love that guy too. Singing in the cars and all that stuff. So his band does the same thing with their guests. So I'm going to ask you a stupid question. What's your favorite pizza?
Cheese. Actually, no, that's a lie. So I'm going to shout out a business.
I
got to do it. So if you're ever down in Ocean Pines, you got to check out Paul and Vinny's Pizza down in Ocean Pines. He makes a banging buffalo chicken pizza, man. I was never really a fan of buffalo chicken, but the way he does it, very early on, my wife and I, you know, it's funny you asked about pizza because Friday night's Pizza Friday.
I wanted to ask you about a vacuum, but you told me not to.
Yeah, so don't do that because my wife is listening. We won't discuss that vacuum. But we do Pizza Friday. In the beginning part of COVID, we were driving down to Ocean Pines every Friday for this pizza because I used to be in Salisbury. Then they relocated to Ocean Pines, and we would just make the drive. And it just got a little bit going crazy going towards Ocean City in the summertime and avoiding that traffic. But
I can't imagine.
Yeah, Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, I can't really say that I'm a big fan of Buffalo chicken pizza, but if it's from Paul and Vinny's, man, I'm all over it.
You know, the last year I've started getting into other kind of pizzas. Like, I've always just been a pepperoni, and I've always been a cheese guy. Like, for my whole life, people always want to give me pineapple pizza and whatever Hawaiian pizza.
Unfriend them.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
pineapple does not belong.
My point is, you know, I mean, I like a lot of pizza too. So the next time I'm down there, I'm definitely going to check that place out. And my point was, I've been trying some other things this year with some of the chefs that I work with the Snakeheads that make pizzas, you know, and I've had some pretty cool stuff here, you know, pizza-wise, Snakehead pizza. I mean, you'd never think that would be something good, but believe it or not.
We can catch the Snakehead fry this year and use them for anchovies.
Dude, you know what? You know what? You can. And I'm not going to – you can dry
I'll
them.
I'll take your word for that.
No, you can dry them out and dehydrate them, and you can use them. You really can.
That's all you.
I didn't do it, but I did
I don't need to be invited that pizza night.
Well, no. I didn't do it, but I did eat it.
I'll stick with my green peppers and pepper.
I'm not going to say who did it, but here's how this whole thing went down. So we decided we wanted to try it. I ate it, and I was fine. He ate it, and he got sick as shit. So I've ate it again since then, and I didn't get sick. So I don't know if it was just in his head or whatnot, but it's fine with me. It's no different than dehydrating a sardine from out here in the bay. You know what I mean? It'd be no different than that as far as... these in my mind, anyway. So that's it for me, man. I ain't got much more this week unless you do.
That's all I got.
What do you got, Gary?
I got nothing.
Do you know how to sing, Brian?
You're not going to get me to sing.
Thank you. I'm glad you're on board with us.
Has anybody ever sang?
Somebody
hum one time.
Somebody joined in with the chorus with you. I can't remember who it is.
It's Leslie. It might have been somebody. I can't remember. I've got a piece of oyster in my face right here. I can feel right now.
Ridiculous, dude.
You covered up with garlic pen. So
that's right.
Hey, that probably brought us to the surface. Hey, I might just figure something out. Maybe I color myself in garlic all over and get all these little pieces of oyster
me. Garlic pen and oyster shell.
Oyster shell pizza.
Can I get a garlic pen? Can I get the red for my pizza, please?
That's a good one.
I ain't got no more. I guess if he ain't going to sing, y'all ain't going to sing. I guess I'm going to sing. Oh, wait a minute. One more thing. One more. I always got one more. Eddie, why don't you tell them where they can get a replica mail at real quick before we get off the show?
From Barry Taylor, that is 717-577-7437. He does a good job.
Nice job, Barry. My crabs, they have three first names. It's Heavy, Full, and Fat. My crabs, they have a fourth name. Absolutely Mustard Packed! So, if you ask me where they're from right here on the Eastern Shore.
They're 100% guaranteed Maryland number ones without garlic on them.
At the crab stand, here's a fact I know for sure you're coming back. Kapow! Kapow! Kapow!